Appreciate everyone that's here tonight, all of our visitors. It's always an honor to have you. We love visitors. We love it when people come to help us. And just you being here is a great help. I'd like to ask you to stand across the house, those that can. The 15th chapter of Luke, very, very familiar scripture. We'll start with verse 3. If you have that, say amen. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Amen. Let us be serious tonight. I've got a great burden upon my heart to preach this message. And so I ask that we pray that you be sincere. And let's ask God to touch a heart in this service tonight. Father, we come to you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. We're asking that you walk up and down these aisles, that you roll your sleeves up and work on us as a potter upon the clay. Father, there are hearts in this house tonight that you've revealed to me already in this service that I will be preaching to. And so, Master, I'm asking that you will challenge them, and that they would leave different than they came, that they would be encouraged and lifted up, God. I ask you to give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Let me say nothing more, nothing less than the Holy Ghost would bid. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Church says amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And he spake this parable unto them. This is what he said. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Beautiful text tonight. I would like to take my text out of Amos 3 and 12. Amos 3 and 12. The Bible said, Thus saith the Lord, As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. And thus saith the Lord, As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be. Now it's a shame. My heart grieves, and I ask you to pray for me. God wanted to speak to those two young people right there in a great way. I don't know why they left, but that grieves my heart. I ask you to pray for them. Lift your hands right now. Would you do that, Father? Oh, you spoke to my heart concerning them. And I think it's a shame that the enemy is, whatever it is that he's done, Lord, to cause them to leave. Father, I ask you to bring conviction upon their hearts. Even though they run from this gospel, run from this passage of Scripture, they cannot run from the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will lead them and walk with them and just convict upon their hearts, Father. And we'll give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to preach tonight on two legs and a piece of an ear. We live in a time when responsibility is no longer necessary for action. And as an analogy, I would like for us to consider the abortion issue. There's a powerful movement in the United States that have given conservative lawmakers no small amount of trouble in our court systems. They're steadily pushing for rights and greater liberality for women in a male-dominated world. We often call this platform the Women's Lib Movement. And just for the record tonight, I'd like to say that they work real close and are often one with the gay and lesbian rights unions. One issue that they push unrelentingly is that a woman should have the freedom or the choice as whether or not she should keep her child or to abort her child. And I'll be the first one to tell you tonight that my heart goes out to a woman who has been molested by an ungodly, wicked offender. But I have no hesitation to tell you that this Woman's Lib, Gay and Lesbian Rights Union, they care not one whit about that lady who has been mistreated. They care not one bit about that woman who's been molested on a street corner, in a street, in a downtown, in an alley somewhere. That is not the reason they're pushing the platform that they are pushing. This generation of lust-filled, sin-soaked, hell-bound souls cares nothing about anything that's decent and holy. They want a system that doesn't require responsibility for fornication. They want a system that doesn't require responsibility for adulteries and their ungodly and twisted desires. How often we hear them cry that they didn't mean to come up expecting, and they'll say, I didn't want this child. But I, for one, believe they should have thought about that before they partook of their ungodly pleasure. Say amen, saints of God. The abortion process proves my point in a twofold way tonight. Number one, it tells us that sexual lust and sin have undesired consequences, thus the unwanted pregnancy. Secondly, it's a process that is made to look simple, but is often anything but simple. Many times that young lady will attempt suicide after the abortion, and for many of those young ladies that do so, it haunts them for years and years to come, even for the rest of their life. They never are able to get over that. If the young man and woman is not ready to take on the responsibility of a child, they absolutely need to abstain from their fornications. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Amen. There's an absolute law that governs everything we do. The world says that what comes around goes around. I like what the Bible said in the mouth of Paul to the church of Galatia. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'd like to just let us look at that concept. That it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what you sow. There will be a reaping process in every single thing we do. One of the absolute laws of physics is that for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. I say in the spiritual realm, there are times that the reaction is not opposite or equal. Sometimes it's magnified 100 times fold. I challenge us tonight to let us sow in the Spirit. Let us sow into righteousness that we might reap life everlasting. I want us to consider the shepherd finding his lost sheep. Jesus said to us, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? How many's read this passage lately? Have you ever heard anybody make mention of it in a sermon? Sure we have. As an ex-evangelist per se, I've preached on and taught out of this passage many times. You preach to a sinner about going into the wilderness and being lost. I talk about the shepherd going after the sheep, leaving his family, waving bye to his children. I preach about him crossing streams and going through the thickets and wading through briars and thistles and many other discomforts. I preach about a shepherd as he smiles when he finds his poor, pitiful, lost sheep. He walks up to him and he finds him and he lays him upon his shoulders, and there he turns and he takes that lost sheep back home. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. I've preached. I watch him as he comes across that stream. We see a wife and three or four children running through a field. They hug his neck. They kiss his cheek. They love their dad. They're glad to see him. Seems like an eternity since he's been gone. Mom runs into the house as quick as she can, and she cooks a hearty meal for her husband. He comes in and he sits around the dinner table. And there he begins to tell his adventures and the animals he saw and things that he partook of that day. It's quite an adventure that the children are very interested in hearing. They take their children to bed that night and tuck them in. And they go to sleep that night and the adventure is over. And in the morning time they live happily ever after. Now that's the way I've preached it. That's the way we've heard it preached over and over again. What I want to talk to us tonight is a different perspective that the book of Amos gives us. The book of Amos gives us a perspective on the shepherd's trek through the wilderness. God says, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth, right out of the very mouth of the lion, two legs or a piece of an ear. In this passage, we find a shepherd who has left his family. He's crossed streams. He's went through the thickets. He's walked through the briars. And he also has suffered many discomforts. This shepherd, however, doesn't hear the bleating of a lost sheep. This shepherd doesn't find a scared and lonely, frightened lamb ready to go home. This shepherd finds only two legs and a piece of an ear. This lamb has been slaughtered by the lion. You see, often we consider the shepherd going after the sheep, but we always picture him bringing the sheep home. But I declare tonight that there are times that the shepherd doesn't bring the sheep home because a lion consumes and will kill that sheep out there in that wilderness experience. Let us consider the unsaved man or woman tonight. I marvel how this world had a pure insanity. Think they can play around with sin, or play around with fire and not be burned. The fornicator, the adulterer, the whore, the whoremonger, they're collecting memories tonight. They're receiving scars that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. They're receiving things in their spirit that no amount of prayer and no amount of fasting will ever rid them of. Say amen, saints of God. The unsaved man will not escape the world unscathed tonight. Help us, Holy Ghost. Drugs and alcohol they consume are slowly but surely deteriorating their physical bodies, weakening their spirits, making them subject even to demon possession. They do not realize that Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour." How many times have I seen the young man, the young mind destroyed by drug addiction? Young men that I grew up with, who were bright young men, funny, full of energy, are now burnt out. Their eyes are glazed over with a look of sheer stupidity.
A young man that one time had promise, one time had potential in his life. Minds that were one time filled with ideas and dreams and goals are now foggy and unclear and void of knowledge because of sin. What was one time full of potential is now broken down and shattered. What was one time a beautiful creature is now merely a two legs and a piece of an ear, a dangling from the mouth of a lion. Help us, Holy Ghost, in His service tonight. Let us consider the backslider tonight. Let us look as an illustration, the prodigal son, the spendthrift, the waster of his goods. We know the story well. It too was part of Christ's trilogy in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Let us consider the prodigal son. He was the younger of twain. There could have possibly been other brothers, but we have not read that in the Scripture. So we can only go by the two that the Word of God gives us. Now, I don't want you to be misunderstood tonight because the Bible called him the younger son. It does not mean that he was a young child. But very well could he have been a middle-aged man, possibly in his 30s or 40s, I do not know. But we do know this, he desired the blessings of his father. It was Oriental custom that if the son come and requested his inheritance, the father was bound by law to give it over to him. I didn't know that until today. I thought the father just gave it away. But he was bound by Oriental custom. He was bound by Oriental law, even though he knew the son was not capable of taking care of the goods. He was forced to give him away. The young man takes his goods, his eyes set on a far country. He was not a man full of greed. He was raised in a wealthy house, but he was a man that wanted the power of the house. He wanted the authority of the house. He was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, if you please. He didn't need money. He had all the money that he needed in the Father's house. He didn't need food. He had plenty of food. He had plenty of things. But he wanted the authority. He wanted the power of the Father's house. He no longer wanted to be under the rule of his father. So he sets out with an eye upon the far country. We watch this young man as he makes his way into the far country. And he spends his money on riotous living. He spends his money on that which is not of God. On the harlots, upon that addiction lifestyle. He spends his money upon the things of the world and the things of the flesh. Long was he in the far country, but he spent everything he had. He spent his money. He spent the blessings that his father gave him and found himself in a famine. Found himself in a famine. Still yet for the pride of his heart. He would not go back to his father. He still chose to join himself up with a citizen of that country. The Bible tells us that the man sent him out into his fields to feed the swine. We know tonight that the Jew was forbidden to touch the swine. It was unclean to him. This young man had stooped to as low as a man could possibly stoop. Here he is in a hog pen. The Bible said he came to himself. One of our greatest misconceptions concerning the prodigal son is getting ready to come out and unfold in the Scriptures. The young man raises up and says, I believe I'll go back to my father's house. And so he takes his journey back home. And the Bible said when the father saw him get a great way off, he came and ran to him. And here we do the same thing as we preach about the shepherd and the sheep. We watch the young man come home. But the great misconception is that when everything was exactly the way it was in the beginning, the saints of God, hallelujah, it was not the same as it was when he left. We have a tendency to think that after he had come back, he was given another inheritance and more money. money to squander away. This too is part of our mentality, that there is no consequence for going back on God into a life of sin. But let us consider the words of the Father unto the eldest son. He said, "Son, oh hallelujah, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." My God, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Why are you so jealous? He's not got an inheritance anymore. Hallelujah. The younger son had thrown away his blessing. He had squandered what his father had given him in the beginning. He had lost what had been handed to him. Things would never be like they were in the start. Make no mistake about it, saints of God. When the father came running down that road, he did not find a bleeding sheep ready to come home. He found two legs and a piece of an ear. He found what was left of a backslid life. He found a son that was plagued with dirty laundry, a past that would haunt him the rest of his existence. Now you hear me tonight, you may backslide. You may turn away from God's house. You may turn your back on the blessing of the Lord and waste it in a far country. You may come home and yes, God loves you. He'll kill the fatted calf. He'll run down that road. He'll kill the fatted calf because sin has starved you to death. He'll clothe you the robe of righteousness because sin has stripped you. He'll put shoes upon your feet because walking the broad way will wear the shoes, the gospel of preparation of peace away from your feet. He'll put a ring of reconciliation on your finger. But you have to work on your brother's farm, my friend, because you squandered away what was yours in the beginning. You have to plow your brother's field. Well, I know I risk being misunderstood tonight, but so be it. So be it. What about Samson? One of the most sobering thoughts I ever saw, Samson, I'm going to share with you tonight. We know the story of the Bible's strong man. 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. So quick he could tie the tails of 300 foxes together and send them into the fields of the Philistines. This man was a man that was moved on by God at times. But we know as we watch him make his way down to the valley of Sorek, and there he has his head laying in Delilah's lap. The story is Sunday school material. And there he has revealed the strength of his power. And so we watch him as his eyes are gouged out and he loses his strength. We watch Samson as he prays unto God. He's grinding in the prison house. And the little lad comes to him. And the Bible tells us God gave his strength back to him. And he walks out to the pillars of the temple and he pushes those pillars out. And he won more of victory in the end than he did in the beginning. But hear me tonight, saints. He never got his eyesight back. I don't care how strong he was. He never got his eyesight back. He received his power, but he lost his vision. There are some things that you can lose in sin that you do not get back. There are callings and church positions that you can forfeit because of sin. My God, help us tonight. There are absolutely consequences for everything you do. Let us consider the churchgoer tonight. We've talked about the lion devouring the sinner. We discussed the devastation that comes to a backslider. Now I feel inclined to preach to the church member who's trying to slip away from the fold. You'd be surprised at the people in our churches. I'm sure there's some here. There almost has to be. If you go to the statistics, there has to be somebody here. Maybe not in this service. Maybe not this moment. But perhaps yesterday. Maybe tomorrow, those that think that they can slip away from the fold as long as they come back unnoticed, that nothing is wrong. But brothers and sisters, you live in a dream world. If you think you can play around with ungodliness and still be anointed, you're living in a perpetual hallucination. If you believe you can hold on to the things of this world and God still smile upon you, you may have it from the pastor for a while, but I promise you that God has got His eyes upon you. He sees you all the time. You may slip out of the pastor and run into the woods, and you may even come back a time or two with mild injuries. There's going to be a day the shepherd's going to come looking for you, and all he's going to find is two legs and an ear. Be careful what you do, and be careful where you go.
Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach this out tonight. I heard the Church of God evangelists give a staggering statistic stating that over 80% of their pastors were addicted to internet pornography. Over 80, almost 9 out of 10. I believe I'd be safe in saying tonight that there are over 80% of preachers in every denomination hooked on internet pornography. I've had the internet in the past, and I realize that there are some business reasons that a person could possibly need its services. But I feel tonight that the internet has been one of the most detrimental vices that has slipped underneath the nose of the preacher. I have found in my own experiences talking to individuals, I've seen where his trail has led. I've seen home after home broken up because of this device that we call the internet tonight. We have thundered against the television. We have preached against ungodly music. But somehow, we have let this subtle device into our homes. We don't even know what's on it. Our children are in the house. And our, come on, saints of God, we are in trouble. And this world is pulling at our people. The enemy uses these inventions to desensitize the conscience, dull the spirit of man and woman. I've been caught up watching television before. Some of you may relate. It starts with a Disney movie, and then it moves into a PG movie. And the last scenario is you can watch almost anything. You can hear almost any curse word, even God's name in vain. And it doesn't turn your stomach like it one time did. It will absolutely desensitize you. It'll kill you out. Oh, I thank God tonight for an honest heart and the grace of Almighty God for showing us when we're wrong. I thank God for being a shepherd who cares and comes looking for us in the wilderness. But I'm afraid tonight that there are many in our churches, in our pews, even pastors pastoring churches who are trying to work for God, and they're dibbling and dabbling in this world, in ungodliness, in the idolatry, in pornography. Say amen, saints. Hear me out, saints. Well, there's going to be a day that you're going to go to that church and that preacher's not going to be there. All that's going to be left is two legs and an ear, because sin has devoured their whole life.
Help us tonight, Holy God. My God. They're going to bring shame to the Lord. They're going to bring shame to the church of God. They're going to bring shame to the body of Christ. Saints, you straighten up and let the Lord help you tonight. If you're guilty of any of these things, you had better turn from them now. Perhaps there's someone here tonight in one of these conditions that I have mentioned tonight. Perhaps the enemy has vexed your soul. Maybe planted seeds of doubt that you just can't shake away. You've tried and tried, but still Your faith is wavering. Has the enemy overtaken your prayer life? Has he defeated and kept you from fasting and studying God's Word? Could it be that you feel tonight that all that is left in your life to give God is two legs and perhaps a piece of an ear? You look at yourself in the mirror and you feel incomplete. You don't see a man or woman as whole. Storms have torn you down. Churches have torn you down. People have torn you down. Preachers have torn you down. Could it be tonight that you don't feel like God can use you? In closing, I want to look at two things tonight. Number one, I want us to examine where the shepherd found the sheep. And number two, I want us to evaluate the great value that God put upon two legs and a piece of an ear tonight. As the shepherd approached, he did not find the remains of a sheep on a bloody bed of grass. The two legs and piece of ear were hanging in the very mouth of the lion. As a matter of fact, God said, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. He was standing face to face with a bloodthirsty lion. He was standing in the presence of death and danger. He could have walked away. He could have said, it's not worth it. He could have said, all that is left is two legs and a piece of an ear. And I know many tonight who think they are worthless because sin has ravished their life. Perhaps you're here tonight and sin has tried to destroy you. But tonight we have a shepherd that cares about the torn. He cares about the broken. The shepherd faced the lion, and in a fierce battle he slew the lion and took the legs and the ear out of the mouth of the very enemy. He loved it so much. It was so valuable to him. He was willing to fight the lion for the legs and a piece of an ear. Just two legs and a piece of an ear. A family. Oh, that the enemy is broken up and is devoured. A marriage that seems like it's gone too far for anything to bring it back together. A husband and a wife tonight that don't know if they're ever going to love each other again. The enemy has pulled it apart. And what was one time one flesh is now just two legs and a piece of an ear. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight and you're suffering from depression. The enemy is trying to destroy you. I've got good news for you, my friend. Have you got 2 feet that can be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? 2 feet for walking the straight and narrow. 2 feet for walking and not being weary. Say amen, saints of God. 2 feet that can run for the Lord. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 2:9, he will keep the feet of his saints. 2 Samuel 22:34, he maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me up on my high places. A great God. Psalms 40:2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. For the Lamb, you say, you got me. Maybe God can use 2 feet. But what about a piece of an ear? Oh, I got news. 7 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He didn't say 2 ears. He said, what ear? You got enough. 2 feet to run from wrath. Hallelujah. Here. Oh, God, help us tonight. And hear to hear the word of God. An ear. Oh, my God. Wow. 2 legs to flee from wrath. A piece of ear to hear the word of God. What else do you need, Brother Johnson, to make it to heaven? Keep on walking. Keep on running. And keep on listening. My, 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 my. You see, we feel like we're crippled, and so we are. And we limp, we got broken feet, and sometimes only 2 feet and a piece of an ear. But I've got news tonight that marriage is so important to God. He'll reach right into the mouth of the lion and pull it out. He can take what is nothing and make it something. My God, He's a God of faith. He don't gotta have no plastic surgery. He don't need no prosthetic. Hallelujah, my God. He can create like He did in the beginning. He'll fix a home. He'll fix a church. He'll fix a marriage. He'll bind the enemy and return the ministry of the Lord to the people of God again. I'll be honest. I know I keep coming back to this. When I first walked in this church, I said, great God, 2 legs and a piece of ear dangling in the mouth of the lion. But I also read where the shepherd went to the lion and reached right into its mouth and said, it's time to pull out 2 legs and a piece of an ear. We need to have faith in God tonight. He doesn't give up on you. There is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. His name is Jesus Christ. He loved you when you didn't love yourself. He cared about you when you didn't care about yourself. Our God is a great God. He's a mighty God. He'll wait to the storm. He'll wait to the creeks. He'll wait to the briars. And if you've been torn, if you've been beaten down, if you're hurting tonight, He doesn't care. He wants you just like you are. He loves you just like you are. Stand across the house. I have been 2 legs and a piece of an ear before. I have been one of them that said, where I'm at, God will not use me. Amen. But I can also remember so many times that I heard a war cry and I saw a shepherd with fire in his eyes come right down in the midst of my trouble, Sister Edna. Right down in the midst of my trial. He didn't care about sharp teeth. He didn't care about the roar of the lion. He didn't care about getting hurt. He didn't care about even dying. He just came right in there. He didn't hesitate. He pulled me right out. I came out 2 legs and a piece of an ear. But when God got through with me, He made me whole again. Say amen, saints of God. The Lord is looking for you tonight. He will help you. He will rescue you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're going through. He will help you. Lift your hands across this house. Let's give God glory. God doesn't throw away anybody. I worked in an upholstering factory for a couple months. I can't remember how long exactly. But my uncle was a supervisor there. He was a boss, and he got me on. They upholstered couches, chairs, bar stools, just footstools, cushions, you name it, they upholstered them. And I remember at times they would have an order for a couch. And they'd cut the material for that couch too short. But they didn't take that material and wad it up and throw it away. They covered a bar stool with it. They covered a footstool with it. They probably got almost as much use out of it after it was cut too short for the couch. And there would have been if they just put it on one piece of furniture. Sin may ravish a life. It may destroy a ministry. But God can use everybody. I don't care how far they've went out there. I don't care what they've done. God can use them somewhere. God can use them somewhere. This altar is open. Let us gather out and let us seek the face of the Lord tonight. And let us love on this shepherd that loves us so much. He'll reach into the mouth of a lion and pull our 2 legs.
piece the fear out.